We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, Pacer Nation? Just wanted to give you a quick little update from everything I heard involving the NBA trade deadline. So how active were the Pacers at the deadline? According to the feedback I got, not that active. There was a lot of twisted facts in regards to the report from Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, and that is in regards to the discourse between some of the players and Coach Bjorkgren. There was rumors that, yes, they maybe not be getting along with him. There's rumors that they could have issues with him. But the Pacers players are overall happy with the changes to a certain degree, but the losing did frustrate them, obviously. So let's get into some trade talks. Malcolm Brogdon. Teams did make calls to see the availability of Brogdon, but the Pacers weren't actively looking to trade him. Indiana did listen to pitches made by other teams, but that's part of the business. You never know what type of package someone might offer for a player you covet. It's very similar to the Magic trading Vucevic. Chicago gave them a really nice package. They couldn't refuse it. They couldn't turn that down. Two first-round picks and Wendell Carter Jr. for a 30-year-old center. You can't turn that down. But anyway, back to Brogdon. The only team I'm aware of who called about Brogdon was the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas desperately needs three-point shooting and a good off-ball guard next to Luka, someone that's a good defender. It would have made a good amount of sense for Dallas, but not for Indy. The Mavericks apparently offered Jalen Brunson and Kristaps Porzingis for Domantas Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon. That got nowhere. The Mavericks also tried to acquire Brogdon by himself for a Brunson package, and that got nowhere as well. In regards to Aaron Holiday, the Pacers were not going to move him unless they got a first-round pick in return. The belief is that Holiday's camp thought he was going to be dealt and actually wanted him to be dealt to a team that would be able to give him a bigger opportunity. But the Pacers weren't going to deal him for less than his value. You know, Aaron Holiday was just drafted a couple years ago with the 23rd overall pick. He slid in the draft. This is a guy the Pacers would not trade. Aaron Holiday, they wouldn't trade Aaron Holiday for Mike Conley Jr. a couple years ago. Last year, there was teams that had interest. The Pacers had no interest in trading them. And I think, honestly, when it comes to Aaron Holiday, this is insurance if they're unable to sign T.J. McConnell. And speaking of T.J. McConnell, some have asked, why didn't the Pacers sell high on the expiring tracks of TJ McConnell and Doug McDermott. It's simple. Indiana wants to re-sign these two players at the end of the season. They both love being here as well. Doug McDermott came out Thursday to talk to the media after practice, right before the deadline, and talked about how much he wants to be there and how the front office said they weren't moving him or they hadn't told him he would be getting moved. The Pacers have made it very clear that they will tell their players if they're in a trade. So that to me was telling that they sent McDermott out there. They value him. We know his value is going to be very high in the offseason because he's been shooting the ball like crazy well since returning from the All-Star break. Doug McDermott's a really good basketball player, and he really helps his team, and he really fits well in this Bjorkgren system, probably having his best career as a Pacer so far in this short 3 years that he's been here under Bjorkgren. And I think TJ McConnell, the same can be said for him. He's a guy that has been really, really good for this team. So at this moment, though, the Pacers were just two games back of the four seed at the time of the trade deadline and believe these two players were more important than draft capital. That's the truth. I was on JMV this Friday, and we talked about it. Should the Pacers have sold high on these guys? And it's like, I get that logic because at the end of the day, the Pacers could have sold these two for draft picks, and maybe they could have had a couple draft picks and their own draft pick and packaged that to get something better. But at the end of the day, I'm not even sure what kind of draft picks would have been out there for TJ McConnell, because I don't think there was a lot of TJ McConnell draft pick stuff. It might have been a couple second round picks. It might have been another player, but you can't replace his leadership in the locker room. That to me is what it's all about. Kevin Pritchard has talked about it several times, the culture of this team. And when it comes to TJ McConnell, he is that. He is a huge part of this team's success based on what he provides in the locker room. I talked about that in a preseason article. I was talking about, should the Pacers keep TJ McConnell or should they move on and give the reins to Aaron Holiday? And I said they should give the reins to Aaron Holiday, but McConnell needs to be kept on because of his mentorship, his leadership, his presence in the locker room. Little did I know that TJ McConnell is going to have his best year of his career. And Aaron Holiday has had a hard time adjusting to this Bjorkman system, trying to get his footing. I think Aaron's a fine player. I think Aaron's going to get better. I think Aaron still has a lot to offer a lot of other teams. But the opportunity here with the Pacers behind Brogdon, behind LeVert, behind TJ McConnell, all these other guards that are ahead of him, now Edmund Sumner, he's not going to get that opportunity. So with all that being said, I just think there's a logjam at that position. TJ McConnell's got it secured, and the Pacers cannot just move on from him just to move on from him. It would be silly on their part. But as far as Jeremy Lamb's availability, not much has been said. With the amount of minutes Lamb is getting, I think the Pacers could have moved him, but unfortunately, I don't think his value is all that high. Offensively, he's having a great season. I mean, his shooting numbers are through the roof, but his defense has been putrid. So I think Jeremy Lamb is a guy that will be an expiring contract next season. Coming off that injury, maybe he gets a little bit better come playoff time, come the offseason, gets a little bit back to who he once was when the Pacers had him last year before the injury, but still he has just never been a great defender. And in this system, it's not been the best for him. So I like what he's brought offensively, though, and there's been times where I'm like, man, he's really carried us on the offensive end. But at the end of the day, he's got to get better. So, I look at him and I think, man, I wish Jeremy Lamb would have fit better, but I just don't see it long term. But, yeah, there's not been a lot reported or rumored or leaked to me, at least anyway, about his availability, but I'm sure if they would have got an offer for him, they would have probably traded him if they could have got something better. But lastly, the Pacers looked at their group and said, we are not as worried about this team as the rest of the league is. The LeVert trade set the team back in the moment. The Pacers front office knew that it would. It wasn't going to be an easy process losing a two-way player in Victor Oladipo, but they couldn't pass up on the opportunity to get LeVert. We've talked about it on some other podcasts. Look at what the Houston Rockets got in regards to Victor Oladipo. A pick swap with a team that they're probably not going to use a pick swap with because Miami's going to be really good for a while. An expiring contract in Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. That's it. That is all they got. So I am just thankful the Pacers in the front office made this move. When they made this move, it was the right move to make. So the Pacers have now won four of their last five games. have a very good chance to make a late season push for a fourth or fifth seed in the playoffs. And that is what it's all about. Caris LeVert has been huge for the success of this team. He has just been unbelievably awesome. And I think it's only going to get better as he is still not 100%. He's still trying to get a little bit acclimated. We've seen lots of good moments from him, but this team altogether has benefited from his presence on the team. Good guy on and off the court. He provides something that allows the Pacers to play the style they want to play, putting McDermott back on the bench, that kind of thing. So they're betting on Caris LeVert, and that's why they didn't make a deadline move, because Caris LeVert 2 months prior was their deadline move, because had they held on to Victor Oladipo, that would have been it. So that's it for me, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this short pod. You can find us at Setting the Pace 3. I'm at Alex Golden NBA. My co-host Mike Facci is at @_FACCI over on Instagram @PacersTalk. And we will talk to y'all later this week.